This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Here we are making our way through Holy Week. I want to talk this morning about the gospel reading that we're given today from the 13th chapter of John's gospel. It's part of the final discourse, the Last Supper, and we see the drama, which you've probably heard many times. If you're tuned into the radio program today and just stumbled upon it, maybe you're not a Christian, you don't know much about the story of Christianity and what's going on. We, that is, followers of Jesus, are making our way through what we call Holy Week, which is the story of the great drama in the life of Jesus when Jesus was crucified. And Jesus was crucified for a reason. He was crucified to become a sacrifice for human sin, to make his own life an offering to God the Father, our Creator, to give to God what belongs to God. For every single human being is made to know God and to obey God, to follow God. But something is wrong with the human heart because there's so much resistance to God, or simply being indifferent to God or ignoring God. And it reveals the sin-sick condition of the human heart. At one point in Jesus' life, when he was talked with some of his followers, his apostles, we call them, and they were talking with some of the religious leaders at the time, the Jewish leaders, and they were asking the question, if they ate certain foods, would it make them unclean? And there were ritual laws in the Jewish religion at the time that certain foods were not to be eaten. And Jesus took the opportunity to talk about what really makes us unclean and begins to reveal the condition of the human heart. He said, it's not what comes from outside a person that makes them unclean. It's what comes from within. And then he identified things that are in the human heart. He said, what comes from the human heart? Lying, lust, anger, bitterness, hatred, unforgiveness, rage, adultery, sin. All that human passion and desire for what's forbidden that's present deep within us. It's not just an occasional thing, but there's something fundamentally wrong deep within the human heart. And Jesus has come to deal with that problem. Really, the prophets of the Old Testament and others talk about the fact that the Messiah, who Jesus is, the one who was going to be sent from God to set captives free, the prophets tell us Jesus was going to come to give us a new heart, was going to deal with that sin-sick heart and make it possible for us to love God and to love one another in the way that we were made to do. Today, in this reading from John's Gospel, the drama of the inner circle, the fellowship that's gathered around Jesus, his disciples, his apostles, those that would be the ones that he would send, they're now coming to the right at the moment that Jesus spoke about, that he was going to have to die, that he was going to have to suffer, that the role of the Messiah wasn't just to triumphantly ride into Jerusalem and take authority over everything, but he was literally going to ride in a humble way on a donkey, and he was riding toward his crucifixion ultimately. And that was the means by which he was going to destroy the powers that were set against the kingdom of God and the means by which he would save the human race. So here's the drama that's unfolding at the meal. Reclining at table with his disciples, Jesus was deeply troubled and testified, "Amen, amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." So among his closest friends, what begins to be revealed, the inner circle begins to fragment and divide, and one among them literally will betray him. He goes on to say, the disciples looked at one another at a loss as to whom he meant. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, that is John, the author of this gospel, was reclining at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter nodded to him to find out whom he meant. He leaned back against Jesus' chest, that is John, and said to him, "Master, who is it? Who's the betrayer among us?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I hand the morsel after I have dipped it." So he dipped the morsel and took it and handed it to Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot. After Judas took the morsel, Satan entered him. What we're witnessing as we walk with the Lord, the apostles, through this Holy Week is the drama of the battle between the two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Satan in the kingdom of God, and Jesus Christ, who will be crowned victor. He is God's Christ. He's the king. And Satan now is circling Jesus. He's surrounding him. He's plotting. The strategy he had for destroying Christ, enslaving Christ, to getting rid of his enemy, is beginning to unfold here. So Jesus said to him, "What you're going to do, do quickly." That is, he's saying it to Judas. Jesus knows exactly what Judas is going to do. Now, none of those reclining at table realized why he said this to him. The other apostles had no idea. Jesus knew exactly what Judas was going to do. He knew that Judas left a doorway open in his own heart, the satanic temptation and influence in this betrayal. Jesus saw what was unfolding. The apostles couldn't see it. It says, now, some thought that since Judas kept the money bag, Jesus had told him, "Buy what you need for the feast or give something to the poor." So Judas took the morsel and left at once, and it was night. So here's where the enemy does his work in darkness, and it was night. All of it's about to unfold. When he had left, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and he will glorify him at once." An interesting Jesus perspective. One of his inner circle is about to betray him. Jesus knows he's going to suffer a brutal, humiliating, shameful death. He knows his inner circle of friends are going to run to protect themselves. They're going to be frightened and scared. Peter, as we'll see later, is even going to deny ever knowing him. And Jesus says, "Now is the Son of Man glorified." Who's the Son of Man? Jesus, God's Son. He will be now glorified. The glory that's in him, not only his radiance and his beauty and his majesty, is going to be revealed in this moment of perfect sacrificial love. What's revealed is the character of Jesus, the inner strength and might and power and purity of Christ's love. That's his glory. He shares his Father's nature, God the Father. And he says, "Now is the Son of Man glorified." In this act, God is glorified in him. So the glory Jesus seeks, remember Jesus said, he doesn't seek the glory of this world. We seek the glory of this world, the gold, the recognition, the fame, the power, the influence, the comfort. That's what we get tempted to. What does Jesus say? Where's the real glory? The real glory is in obeying God the Father. And in obeying God the Father, having your heart revealed. We're going to see the heart of Jesus. We're going to see that Jesus lives to please the Father. And he expresses the love that he has for the Father in his obedience. And his love's going to conquer sin. It's going to destroy the work of the enemy. As St. Paul says, he's going to make a public show of the enemy. He's going to disarm the principalities and powers. He's going to break their power on the cross. Everybody thinks the Messiah's glory should be different. He should ride in with his great army, defeat Rome, take his seat upon the throne, rule over the state of Israel, rule over the 12 tribes as King David did. But Jesus said, "No, that's not the glory that I seek." That whole reality was an image, was a foreshadowing of the rule of my kingdom. So Jesus is about to be glorified in his obedience to the Father, who gives him the kingdom because of his obedience and because of his love. Now let's go on to St. Peter in the last few minutes of the show. He said, Simon Peter said to him, "Master, where are you going?" He had just said to them, "My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. You will look for me, as I told the Jews. Where I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you." Simon Peter said, "Master, wait a minute, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, though you will follow me later." Peter said to him, "Master, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for me? Amen, amen, I say to you, Peter. The cock will not crow before you deny me three times." What an intense and dramatic moment. Peter saying, "Jesus, wherever you're going, you don't have to go alone. I will go with you. I will be with you. In fact, I'll do whatever it takes. I will be your loyal friend. I will lay down my life for you." You know, Peter really had that desire. It was part of what he really wanted. But he didn't yet fully understand the powers that were at work in him in his own heart. The power of sin, the fear of death. There's a reign of sin, the reign of the kingdom of darkness that even had a hold of Peter at this time. And Jesus asks him, looking into his eyes, probably just so close to each other at this Passover meal, he looks into his eyes and says, Peter, will you lay down your life for me? Here's what's going to happen, Peter. Not only will you not lay down your life for me, but you will deny ever even knowing. Imagine what's going on inside Peter's heart at that moment. What? He doesn't even recognize his own weakness and slavery. And of course, we know that's exactly what Peter ended up doing. I don't even know the man, right? We're a lot like Peter. You're just like him. So am I. There's something in us that wants to say yes to God. There's something in us that wants to be loyal to God. We're made for God. But there's something deep within us at the same time that doesn't want it. It doesn't want to pay a price. That doesn't want to have to suffer for it. Doesn't want to let that desire for God get in the way of my own safety, my own comfort, my own plans. This is such an important week for us, as I mentioned yesterday, to allow God's word, which it's alive, it's like a two-edged sword that cuts through our hearts, and it opens up and reveals to us and manifests the intentions of each one of our hearts. It's crucial that we understand the reality of sin that's really at the core of our being as well, that we're divided. Today, it's so hard to talk about sin. In fact, more and more, I was listening to various pastors struggling with the idea that, especially millennials and younger, they don't even grasp what sin is. They don't believe in any way that they've sinned in any way that would offend God. Basically, the conclusion is, hey, I'm a good person. And yeah, sometimes I don't always do what I want to do, but I'm nice. I don't intend to harm anybody. And certainly, I don't harm God. So I don't need religion. I don't need God. I don't even understand why Jesus had to die on a cross for me. There's nothing that I did that deserves something like that. And there's a way in which the enemy has worked so effectively in our time. It's one of the consequences of a secularized mind, a conscience that has been seared in so many ways. We can't even grasp the nature of sin. And here the Son of God comes and he reveals to us how serious sin really is. So serious that it required the Son of God to come and to shed his blood and die on a cross. And here one of his inner circle, two of his inner circle, and others, their hearts are being revealed and are going to be dramatically revealed. Friends, we have hearts just like them. It's time for us to receive the healing power of Christ, to repent and allow his blood to wash us clean. God bless you. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.